Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the Sacramento Airport makes a top 10 list, and a new travel website says it offers the best of both hotels and Airbnb.
The historic Lincoln Highway will be celebrating next Sunday. Celebration in Rancho Cordova. We'll be visiting with the mayor of Rancho, joining us at 3:20 to tell you how you can be part of the celebrations.
Getting through airports is tough enough when you are able-bodied, but for those who have to depend on assistance, it can be a tougher journey. At 3:35, reporter Jessica Monsell joins us with the story.
And at 3:50, Gwen Duncan is here to finish your two-part series on international train travel. Now, you train buffs, this is definitely worth hanging around for.
It's 3 o'clock on a somewhat rainy Sunday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Here every Sunday, 3 to 4 o'clock, I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman, and I do this little silly radio show brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Today I am in studio and Mark all the way to Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
I don't know why I always want to call it Albuquerque. And you quickly got there, and I think we talked about this. It's balloon festival time there, isn't it?
It is, Thomas, and I've been bringing people to see these balloons down here for many, many years, and I've never seen them myself. So hopefully, if the winds don't come up too much this evening, why, we will get the balloons up in the sky, and they have a thing called Glodio tonight, which is an after-dark balloon occasion, and then tomorrow morning, the next two mornings, everybody gets up very early in the morning and goes out, and the balloons go up in the sky. So it's the largest balloon festival of any type in North America, so we're all pretty excited about it.
I'll tell you, if you go to travelguysradio.com, Mark, I know you've had it there before. Do we have a link to the photos of the balloon lift?
I don't think so. Probably, but we will have some photos next week because I will take some tonight and tomorrow.
All right. This is one of the coolest. If you just, here again, you don't have to ride in the balloons to really, really enjoy this festival. It is a sight to behold. And anyway, will you post those pictures for us for next week, okay? In the meantime, let's go to work. As we always do at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. Mark, what do you got for us here on this fine Sunday?
Well, we got some news off of the web here to start with, Tom. Here is a website that says it settles the flying versus driving dilemma. Indeed, it's a website called Travel Math. And there's a link to it on our website at Travel Guys Radio if you would like to give it a try. And basically what this website is designed to do is to drive or not to drive. You know, Tom, if you were going, San Francisco is not a good example for folks from Sacramento, but Los Angeles perhaps would be. Some folks are, well, you know, how long does it take and how bad is the traffic and what does it cost in gas money, and what is it going to cost for the least expensive air ticket and stuff like that for folks who are like in the Los Angeles area and might be flying to places like Phoenix or Las Vegas, or folks who regularly make plane trips that are an hour long or 45 minutes long that can be made in a 4 or 5 hour drive. This is a website that will give you the opportunity to be able to compare whether or not it's easier to go there by car or it's easier to go there by plane, taking into account the security and all the other things that you have to go through along the way.
You know, that's an interesting point for us here in Sacramento, who often travel to Los Angeles or to Anaheim, better yet, for Disney trips to Disneyland, and, you know, and families, and they make a road trip of it. And one of the points is not only, you know, the amount of time that it takes and the grief that can go along sometimes with a road trip, but you know, you're going on vacation. We talked to Ed Perkins about this. You're going on vacation, and so your time is relative to to dollars and cents.
And, absolutely.
And so if it takes you 8 to 10 hours to get there and 8 to 10 hours to get back, well, there's almost an entire day that you could have been enjoying that theme park that you're spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to go and be entertained.
So here's a website you can go to, and it will allow you to punch in the numbers and make comparisons, per se, especially not so much for local things, but if you were going to the East Coast, for example, where the country is more densely populated, and you're not real familiar with things, and you're wondering, would this be a better to make a plane flight, or would this be better as a car trip? And so it's an opportunity to be able to check those things out. New York City is losing, Tom, one of its, I will call it a tourism icon. Probably a lot of folks in New York City would consider it not to be touristy, but I do. The Carnegie Deli is closing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's opened in 1937. It's a deli just down and across from Carnegie Hall that is famous for serving overstuffed sandwiches that are way too big to get your mouth around and way more than one person could eat. And they cost more than your typical sandwich, too. But they're known for slightly rude waiters and very tight dining accommodations. And the lady who has owned it for many, many years has decided finally that it's time to give it up. She's 85, and she's decided that her family has owned the Carnegie Deli now for a little over 40 years. So there will still be licensed locations in Las Vegas and Pennsylvania and some other places, but the original Carnegie Deli in New York City indeed is closing its doors. But you still have time to get there if you're still looking for one of those famous pastrami sandwiches. They're not closing until the end of the year. Speaking of websites that might be of help to travelers, there's a new website that says it offers the best of both hotels and Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've not visited the site yet, so I'm not seeing I'm not understanding exactly how that could be, but it's an interesting it is called Sonder, S-O-N-D-E-R, which is the German word for special. So a way to be able to compare hotel and Airbnb, if one of our listeners happens to, you can find the link at travelguysradio.com, and if somebody out there happens to go and use the site and has anything to report on it, why, drop us a note or give us a call, and we would be happy to share that with our listeners on the air.
Well, awesome.
And let's see here. Donald Trump is in the news.
Oh, boy, is he ever.
Of course. We'll hear his...
All yeah, over Saturday Night Live last night. You didn't happen to see that, did you?
I did not, Thomas. But here is just in relation to travel news. Mr. Trump's hotel chain has been slapped with a $50,000 fine. They had a security lapse. It cost about 70,000 credit cards got lapsed out, and they were supposed to do some things to protect to tighten up security and haven't quite done it yet. So anyway, that was a little fine. It doesn't have anything to do with the election, but it was a little tiny piece of travel news. Let's see, what else have we got here? Thomas, you said we had some rain in Sacramento today.
Yes, we did. In fact, we still got a few showers here and there. Looks like the air show out at Mather is going on as scheduled. The Blue Angels should be flying about now. Yesterday, for those that may not have headed out that way, the Blue Angels did not fly as the captain lead pilot for the group was down with what it sounds like was food poisoning. I checked with some people in the know that were out there earlier this morning, indicated that they would fly as scheduled. And then, of course, the question everyone's having now is, when you have this low cloud area, they're going to fly, but are they going to be above the clouds and then you can't see them?
Well, and you see, we're here, and I'm here in Albuquerque, and we face that same kind of situation where it's things that go up in the sky, and if it's not windy enough, the balloons don't fly, and if it's too windy, the balloons can't go up, so it's not safe. So it there's that little window, and they have about six or seven, sessions scheduled during the fiesta down here, and every year one or two of them doesn't quite happen just because of weather situation. All right, we have a 10 list here for you. Airports with the best and worst cell phone service.
Okay.
Airports with the worst of note: Seattle, New Orleans, Detroit, Honolulu. I can vouch for that one. Nashville, Houston Hobby, Philadelphia, Fort Lauderdale, Austin, and Los Angeles International at the top of that list. That's the airports with the worst cell phone service. The airports with the best cell phone service: Midway, Chicago 10, Love Field, Dallas 9, and number 8, Sacramento.
Awesome.
Indianapolis, Atlanta, Boston, Orange County, Fort Myers, Milwaukee, and at the top, another California airport, Oakland, believe it or not.
Well, there you go. I imagine they got the added technology. There's two things going on. Now, if you're using the Wi-Fi that's available at the airport, then that's one thing. But if you're just at a place that's extremely busy and you're using, you know, the standard AT&T or whatever that you get from your provider, it can get clogged up because of number of people. Now, you would find it hard to believe, but cell phone or the ability to get an internet connection on your provider's cell phone connection out at the air show yesterday was nearly impossible. If you wanted to send a text or send a picture or go to a website, forget about it, because you had whatever 150,000 people in a relatively small area all jamming up the activities.
Another fun little list I scrounged up here for you, Tom, is the 25 most complained about restaurants. These are full service restaurants. The 25 that are the most complained about on TripAdvisor, Yelp, things like that. I won't give it all away. You have to go to TravelGuysRadio.com to be able to see the list. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Follow along with us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Coming up right after the break, we're joined by the mayor. We're going to talk about the upcoming big celebration for the Lincoln Highway and all of that coming through Rancho Cordova. That's next, right here on the Travel Guys. Welcome aboard. This is the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we've been talking about this for some time, Mark, and not too long ago, you had an opportunity to speak out in Rancho Cordova, your kind of hometown, about one of your favorite topics, the Lincoln Highway. And Rancho Cordova has a great celebration coming up here a week from today. And we were fortunate enough to round up the mayor of Rancho Cordova to talk about it with us today. So, David Sanders, welcome to the Travel Guys with Mark and Tom.
Absolutely. It is my pleasure to be here. Thank you for focusing on some of the great things that are happening in Rancho Cordova.
You're very welcome, Mayor. Tell us a little bit so that folks who are listening, who might have a casual interest, this doesn't cost anything. This whole Lincoln Highway celebration, you can come and see all this stuff and be a part of it. What a great family activity. So tell us a little bit about what's going to happen in Rancho Cordova next Sunday.
Absolutely. Well, this is, as you said, a free family-friendly event, and it starts at noon. It's noon to 4 at the historic Mill Station building. That's right on Matherfield Road where it intersects with Folsom Boulevard. There's a light rail station there, and the historic Mill Station is on that site. And that will be the center focus for the event. So we're inviting the public to come and celebrate the historic Lincoln Highway that runs from one end of our city to the other. But there are some other events happening that day as well in conjunction with this Lincoln Highway event. There is a poker run. Are you guys familiar with poker runs?
Well, yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
Okay, so it starts in Roseville, and it'll be a bunch of historic cars, and they're going to drive an attractive historic path from Roseville to Rancho Cordova, and there'll be 5 or 7, I'm not sure how many, stops along the way, and as you're driving that route, you pull a card at each stop, and you're typically, these folks are in, you know, historic cars or something like that. And when you get to the final destination, you'll see who has the best poker hand, and they will win the poker run that day. So that starts in 8 a.m. There's information on the Cordova Community Council's website about that event. Starts in Roseville, ends in Rancho Cordova. At 10 a.m., that same group of historic cars will cruise down historic Folsom Boulevard in Rancho Cordova and end up at the Mill Station that I mentioned earlier. Right there at Matherfield Road and Folsom Boulevard. And so when we get there, there will be a historic monument that we have designed and constructed that's going to be unveiled. There are going to be a bunch of vintage cars on display, some of which will have just cruised that morning, either in the poker run or just on Folsom Boulevard. We'll have music by the Lincoln Highway Band. I don't know if you guys have heard of them. And Rancho Cordova's very own River City Concert Band. So it'll be great music. There'll be historical displays from Rancho Cordova, food trucks. We're going to give you a sneak peek of Mill Station and how we're going to renovate it for the future and turn it into a history gallery as well as an art gallery. And, of course, it's all free, mainly through the benefit of the city's Community Enhancement Fund. We've made a grant to our local nonprofit to pull this event off, and those are some of the things that are happening next Sunday.
David, will there be folks on hand that can tell the visitors a little bit about the Lincoln Highway and its history?
Absolutely. Our Historical Society will be there, but also we have partnered with the National Lincoln Highway Association, specifically their California chapter, for this event. And those associations, the national and the state chapter, focus solely on developing and sharing the rich history of the Lincoln Highway system.
And Tom, I can tell you the California guys and gals are kind of excited about this. They've been getting signage through a number of California communities recently, Galt, Tracy, Livermore, some of the different places that are working on this. So it's kind of cool that a piece of history is literally coming to life. You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. We're talking to Rancho Cordova Mayor David Sander about a celebration that's going to take place next Sunday in Rancho Cordova to celebrate the historic Lincoln Highway, which, of course, was the first transcontinental, I won't call it a highway because really it was just a group of cobbled together farm to market roads that they strung across the country. But nonetheless, it has the distinction of being the first road that went across the country. And it came through Sacramento in two different routes because it came off of what is today Highway 80 and what is today Highway 50. So this is the route that came down Highway 50 and is coming through Cordova. David, let me ask you, what drove this discovery of Rancho Cordova's history? Because it sounds like this celebration is only one part of what you plan to do.
Well, you know, Rancho Cordova is a vibrant community. We're a relatively new city, and we really value our contributions to the history of the region, and we're trying to emphasize those for the benefit of our own population, but also for the historical character of the region. So that's why on October 9th, we're doing this Great American Road Trip event that we've been talking about. But Rancho Cordova has had a key role in the greater Sacramento region, and actually this specific site has not just as a Lincoln Highway destination, but this was also the first, the site of the first railroad in the far west that ran down Folsom Boulevard. And so we have that historical markers here as well. This was a Pony Express route as well. And then, of course, later on and not far away, we had the region's first airport and Air Force Base at Mather Field. In a lot of ways, the history of the Sacramento region has run through Rancho Cordova.
Mayor, we're a week away, and I know that you've been calling all cars to join in and so forth. But is there still time for people to register and be part of it, or are they out of time?
You know, I think there is time, and there's usually always a little wiggle room in those deadlines. So if you've got the special automobile, I would encourage anyone listening to give the Cordova Community Council a call, talk to them about the Great American Road Trip, and see if there is a way for that individual to be involved.
David, we are going to put on our Travel Guys radio website a link to the Cordova Community Council website and to the Great American Road Trip page. So if you're out driving around right now and you don't have a pencil and you're thinking, geez, how am I going to remember this? TravelGuysRadio.com, there'll be a link. And so that's all you have to remember, that you were listening to the Travel Guys, and then you'll be able to find out. David, I'll be out of town, unfortunately, next week. So I know all the guys from the California Lincoln Highway Association are going to show up and be a part of things. Congratulations on bringing a piece of history to life in Sacramento. And perhaps you will encourage the folks over in Citrus Heights to sign the Lincoln Highway through their city and perhaps have a similar celebration somewhere down the road.
Absolutely. You know, I think we ought to take advantage of all of our historical assets. And I appreciate your guys' efforts in that regard. I really do. And thank you for having me on today.
Our pleasure, Mayor. Thank you so much. We are the Travel Guys. Remember, everything that we've been talking about, you can find out more simply by going to TravelGuysRadio.com. And don't forget, folks, Travel Guys here every Sunday from 3 to 4. And if you happen to miss one of our programs, also at thetravelguysradio.com, we have podcasts of all of our programs. And if you happen to be out of town, you can always find us on iHeartRadio Live or on your computer at kfbk.com and podcasts on iHeartRadio.com. It's kind of cool. Just search Travel Guys, and there we are. All righty, Mark, let's see.
We've got about
a minute and a half here before the news. And then we're going to.
If none of that works, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and right up at the top of the page, you can just enter your email address. And then if you don't listen to the show every Monday, you will get a link to the podcast. So all you have to do is, you only have to do it one time. Just all we need is your email address. We're not going to send you anything or sell your address to anything, anybody or anything like that. Just tell us who you are and where we can send the link. And then every Monday you will get a link along with the headlines of the show. And then you can hear it and you don't have to listen to the news or the commercials.
And Mark, we didn't get one phone call. I got the text from you. One phone call that I promoted that we were going to have the mayor of Sacramento on. In fact, we were going to have the mayor of Rancho Cordova. So, I don't know.
You gave David a pretty big promotion there, it sounds like.
You know, David had a pretty spectacular day yesterday out at the air show. They invited him right out onto the tarmac where he stood next to the Blue Angels pilots and so forth, and honored he and the city of Rancho Cordova for all that they do. So that was kind of neat. All right, Mark, coming up after the break, we're going to sit down with one of your buddies, aren't we?
We are. Jessica Monsell, who has reported for us for a couple of times on kind of the nuts and bolts of travel, some of the things that don't always impact everybody. But Jessica will be here to talk about if you have a disability and you're going through an airport, life isn't always as easy as it should be. And we'll talk about why and what can be done about that right after the news. We are the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
It's the Travel Guys every Sunday 3 to 4, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano in studio. Mark Hoffman, my Travel Guy partner, is cross country in Albuquerque. And Jessica Monsell with Elliott.com or Delia.org joins us here on the Travel Guys. It's been a while, Jessica. Good to have you back.
Thanks, Mark and Tom, for having me. Good to be back.
Jessica, it's wonderful to have you back on the air. We have told our folks, teased a couple times here, that we're going to talk about folks with disabilities getting through the airport. And I guess the backstory on this is, in January of this year, United Airlines was fined more than $2 million for failing to provide prompt wheelchair service to passengers when implaning and deplaning and in airports. And so now you can pick up the story from there and tell us what United is doing about trying to fix this problem.
Well, we heard first from a passenger who was flying on United Airlines from San Francisco to Edmonton and then onward to another destination in Canada. And what happened to her, she was traveling with her 89-year-old mother, and they had let the airline know that they needed wheelchair assistance when they landed. And when they landed, no wheelchair was to be found. The flight attendant told them to head up the jet bridge because they had waited already for 25 minutes and they needed to make a connection. So, this passenger and her elderly mother wheeled their rollerboards up the jet bridge and then started pushing, themselves on to make their connection. So once I started reading more about what the airline's responsibilities are, I realized that United had just been hit with a fine in January. And what they're supposed to do with the money that they've been fined is they're supposed to do quality assurance checks for their ground contractor. So they hire employees or they hire a company that has employees that provide the service to passengers with disabilities. And then they are also supposed to provide new technology to passengers in order to communicate with the airline when they are not getting the assistance they need or when they need to make special requests. So that's where things are right now.
And we know, Jessica, that I'm on the road constantly, and I travel with a lot of mature adults, some of whom need assistance in airports. It was United Airlines, indeed, a year ago this spring, who left a 99-year-old customer of mine and his 82-year-old wife stranded in a cubbyhole in the Houston airport until after their flight had left. When they were finally taken to the gate by too late to catch their flight, and had been separated from the group, were forced to spend the night in Houston. And the only way we found the customers was by calling every hotel that United referred customers to in the Houston area. They couldn't even tell us what had happened to the people after they had failed to put them on. The people who are putting these people on the airplanes and are escorting people through airports are paid a very low salary. In many cases, they are people for whom English is a second language. They are not bad people. There is nothing wrong with them. In many cases, if they were given a minimal amount of training and instruction, they could easily do this job and do it well. So this is not a situation where the people who are doing the job are falling down on the job. It's the fact that United has decided, and the other airlines are equally to blame, have decided to pay so little money to the companies that they're contracting with, that such poor service is provided that people literally, and I have to tell you, Jessica, this is an ongoing problem all over the country. Mm-hmm. It's not just United, and it's happening every single day.
Let me chime in here, you two travel experts here. What do you advise to our listeners, particularly those that may be in that situation where they're going to need a wheelchair or they just can't move as quickly from one gate to the other? What kind of advice can you give them to help them out? Jessica?
Well, Tom,
go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead, Jessica.
Well, I was going to say
ladies
that,
first.
thank you. I was going to say that, you know, if you're a passenger with reduced mobility and you need to get from, if you need assistance getting on or off the plane, the best approach to this is communication and to over-communicate with the flight crew. And that starts at the time that you book your flight. So, you know, letting the airline know in advance that you've made this request. And then, you know, asking especially if you have a tight connection, I mean, really probably the best is to not have such tight connections if you can avoid it as well. So a little bit of planning, I think, is helpful, but, Mark, what else can you add in terms of advice to passengers?
Well, your wisdom is good. It's good to tell the airline when you make the reservation. It's good to remind the airline when you're checking in at the desk. If you're checking in remotely, there's, you know, on a phone or a computer, there's not going to be a way to do that. But when you get to the airport, you can go to the counter, remind them. If you are a passenger who needs assistance, you must at all times know when your plane departs. You need to know what gate it departs from and what carrier that you're on. I mean, those are pieces of information. I don't care if you have to tape it to the person's chest. All of that information, if it's an elderly person or someone who has a disability or a handicap that doesn't allow them to communicate that information, then somehow that information needs to be very visible, because you need to know when someone is about to leave you somewhere and say, well, someone will be here to get you in a minute. You need to be able to tell them, look, my flight leaves in 30 minutes. You cannot leave me here. So you have to be in a position, unfortunately, to advocate for yourself a little bit. And the other unfortunate part about this is that some of the folks who are traveling and need this assistance are not always people who are in a position to advocate for themselves.
Right. And so getting back to, Mark, your comment about that these contract employees are low paid and English may not be their first language. I mean, immediately the image that comes to my mind is security before September 11, 2001. Where we had this mishmash of employees who may not have had training. If they had training, they may not have understood it. And there was a big inconsistency of service throughout different airports and even at different checkpoints when you're talking about security. So perhaps what we need is a little more standardization in training across the board and a little more investment. And I think that's what the DOT is trying to do, the Department of Transportation, in finding United. But truthfully, if you look at the statistics that the Department of Transportation publishes, United and Delta and American, they all have this problem. So it's a widespread problem, thousands of complaints being filed each year. And you know that probably a lot of people don't file complaints And so that means we have an underreported problem as well. So there's a lot of room for improvement here.
And it's the sad thing here is, Jessica, is that as the major portion of the population ages, there are going to be more people who are going to need this assistance. There are more hip replacements and knee replacements and things of that sort that are going to cause people to need more assistance. So the airlines have really got to come to grips with this. I mean, obviously, it's a huge expense for them. They're trying to minimize the cost. I'm a business person. I understand that. But they have an obligation to, if they're telling people they're going to provide this service and legally they have to provide it, then it's up to our government to crack down on these folks. And in case our listeners don't know, when an airline is fined for something like this, generally what happens is part of the fine is you pay the fine now, and part of the fine is deferred. And the instruction is take that deferred money and improve what you have done poorly in the past. So really and truly, the airlines kind of know that they're not going to get dinged too badly for this, and I have to believe that that's why the service is so poor and they give it such a back pocket kind of position, is because it's not important to them. And it truly is, until some of the associations for handicapped, disabled people and some of the folks start standing up and saying they're not going to put up with this anymore, it's going to keep happening.
Jessica, let me ask you, here again, you have some details about this particular situation with United. They were fined a couple of million dollars and requested to fix it. Are there any airlines that come to mind that you can say, you know, is getting this right, or are they all in the same boat?
Well, I might not be the right person to ask that question. I haven't, you know, actually, United, unfortunately, every time we've had an issue with disabilities or with passengers with disabilities or a disability-related complaint, their response is just to send me the link to their website, which shows what their recommendations are for passengers with disabilities and who need use of assistive devices like oxygen on board and that kind of thing. So there's not a real dialogue, and I think it's because they know they don't have a very good argument in this conversation. So, you know, I cannot say that, you know, Southwest is better or JetBlue is better than the legacy carriers, American, Delta, or United. But, you know, having more conversations like this, I think, helps awareness about this problem. And, you know, and folks who don't, who are not reduced mobility passengers, you know, to us, it's like, it's not even a thought. We just keep going and get on with our day. But like you said earlier, time is money, and that goes for everyone. You know, when you're left for 45 minutes on the plane waiting for a wheelchair assistance, you know, that could be a big loss to your vacation, to your travel plans, and it's a significant problem.
Jessica, we really appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend with us. Any final thoughts, Mark?
Yeah, just because you are not the person who needs assistance today doesn't mean you won't be that person tomorrow. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us again. And I do want to grab you a couple weeks down the road here about the pending bill that would prohibit retribution for negative TripAdvisor and Yelp reviews. So we'll talk about that down the road a little bit.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Mark and Tom.
Coming up right after the short break, we're going to be joined again with Gwen Duncan. If you travel internationally, you're going to find out why trains may be your best bet. That's next on The Travel Guys.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane. You can take a ride on this one and only train.
The Travel Guys on the radio, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And if you left us 2 weeks ago, the end of the show, we had Gwen Duncan on talking about international travel. Mark, I see we have Gwen with us again. What are we going to talk about
today?
Well,
this is the second half. Gwen talked about the importance of considering international rail passes in the first half of this little two-part episode. And so today we talked about buying first class versus second class and considering those different things. And today Gwen is going to give us some specific tips on specific trains that might be something you might want to include as part of your international travel.
Well, in speaking specifically about international travel, you can go from South Africa all the way to Victoria Falls, goes through about 8 countries on what's called the Shongalolo train. And it's really a safari type train. It travels during the night, and then at the daytime it stops. You get into jeeps and you go on a safari in different countries across the country. It is great. It's considered a luxury thing, but there's another one called the Blue Train, who does different countries. It's more upscale even than the Shongalolo, but it does the same kind of thing.
When you say upscale, you say here is about $9,000 for 13 days.
For about 13 days.
And so that's about $600-$700 a day. How does that compare with the cost of a safari in Africa?
Whoa, that's a good question.
That's a fairly, I'm thinking it's fairly close.
It is, depending on and they've got different levels of tents and hotels and stuff for safari trips.
If you're on the train 13 days, are you going to sleep on board the train?
Yes, the Shongalolo, you sleep on top on the train. You do on the...
Not on top of the train.
No, I mean, hello. And then you do on the blue train, it's just more what I'm going to call upscale and a little bit more services. And that one is even more. But you asked me to compare it to a safari.
Uh-huh.
And a safari that's going to be what we consider luxury is going to start somewhere around $20,000 per person.
For 10 days?
I would say 10, 15 days, max.
Okay.
Max.
And so
those
this is
can
less,
be really
so
nice.
This, well,
this
but,
is less.
But also, safaris are priced all over the place in Africa.
That's right. That's right.
A safari on a train?
Well, yes.
Yeah. The train
stops, so you get off, you get into vehicles, go out and look for animals.
In jeeps, you get in jeeps, and then you come back, you sleep on the train instead of sleeping in the tents.
I got it.
And stuff.
Okay, that's
really
pretty
Tom,
intriguing.
I mean, yeah.
That's intriguing.
Now, that's in Africa.
Okay, now this is important that we tell people here that they don't take little children on this train.
That's right. God Most of them don't take anybody less than
They don't
10.
Take, okay, so you have to, the kids have to be at least 10, and they don't have a child rate. So even if your kid is 11 years old, they're going to pay the full adult fare.
That's right. Now, you've got some travel that you can do not necessarily in Africa, where you can have, they'll even have passes for free for kids, two kids to an adult. But it's a different kind of a...
Okay, so that's Africa. So
that's
tell
Africa.
Me
that's
about...
Like Canada.
Okay, before we go to Canada, tell me about the Orient Express.
Oh, the Orient Express. It's a train that was built as a... Around the 1920s is very what I would call iconic.
Mm-hmm.
I put some passengers on there that were going from Venice for a one night. It was a 2-day one night, and it cost them $1,800.
Wow.
And they weren't able to stay in the most expensive cabin because it was taken. If that gives you an idea.
Yeah. So there was so 1800 was not the top
price. Right. They do have 5-day trips that'll run about 3800, and their most popular one is Venice to Paris.
So that's one of the more upscale trains.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And I see you were starting to go to Canada here, and Canada is a wonderful place for US travelers to go right now because of the exchange rates in Canada are running about 30 cents on the dollar. So you between 20 and 30 cents you're going to get. Canada basically is on sale before you even talk about prices.
That's right. And there are two different suppliers. In fact, I met with the reps this last week at a conference, and they've got the Rocky Mountaineer. It concentrates more on the West Coast. And it'll go Vancouver to like Jasper or Calgary. Part of that's a bus trip. Yeah. And the Rocky Mountaineer does not have a
lodging.
Wait.
You said a bus trip. It's a train trip.
It's a train trip until you get to Jasper. And from Jasper to Calgary would be a bus.
Right.
But they don't have overnight lodging. But they stay in 5-star Fairmont hotels. So they travel during the day. They're scenic routes. And
right.
And when they stop, and then you stay in a hotel.
Yes. For the Rocky Mountaineer, you're going to do, go halfway the first day. Then you're going to spend the night in a hotel, and then you're going to go on the next day. It's a very scenic ride through the Canadian Rockies. It's not inexpensive in any way, shape,
or form. No, it isn't. And they've got two levels of service.
They do. I think they've got three now levels of service. There's riding, holding onto the train from the back.
Yeah.
And then there's an actual seat inside the train, and then there's if you wanted to eat, too.
Sports Leisure Vacations does a Canada train.
We do from time to time. We do a cross-country
trip. East to West?
Yeah,
or something?
By Via Rail. And it's not one train. There's there's the Canadian
the
runs
via,
from Toronto.
Via Rail.
Yeah, Via Rail runs from... Well, they have one train that runs from Toronto to Vancouver. And then when you get to Toronto, you get on a different train to get over to the Maritimes or to Montreal or wherever you're going. The rail service in Canada is... better than it is in the United States, but probably not as good as it is in Europe. And that may have to do just with the fact that the distances are so great.
I think you're right. Now, they've got a thing that's called a prestige level, and those will have bathrooms and showers and all that in their rooms.
And that's on the Canadian?
Yeah. It's called the East-West, one of them is, and there are other different titles to some of their itineraries.
Yeah, this is not the sightseeing train we were talking about through the Rockies. But the cross-country via rail, which is the equivalent of Amtrak.
Right, but they have like escorted stuff, and they include all your meals. The Rocky Mountain only does breakfast and lunch. You're on your own for dinners, and it's still kind of a pricey trip. But you can do it from Toronto all the way across to Vancouver, and you'll go from the via rail into the Rocky Mountaineer.
Yep.
What is probably the biggest fallacy in regards to riding on trains?
I will answer one quickly, and then I want to hear what Gwen has to say, and that is that train travel is for anyone, even if you have very limited mobility. That a train is no problem at all. And the reality is that if you move with a cane or you have something that causes you to be a little unsteady on your feet, the train is almost the worst place that you can be, because the train isn't steady. It's always moving. So people sometimes think, well, you know, I've got this disability and a train trip would be perfect for me. But they don't think about the fact that getting on and off a train sometimes can be rather arduous. Mm-hmm. It can involve 4, 5, or 6 steps that, you know, require you to be able to hoist yourself up onto the train and then ditto getting off. So having said that, let me see what Gwen's answer
now,
is.
There are other considerations too. Like I've done twice. I've taken the trip from Sacramento up to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Seattle, and then you switch by bus to go to Vancouver, actually.
Right.
And you leave at midnight. So the most unattractive part of the trip, you can be sleeping, and you don't have to have a cabin. They've got the recliner seats. They'll give you a pillow and a blanket, yeah, which makes it economical. But when you wake up, that's the most scenic part, and it's pretty nice. But you have to bring your own food and stuff, because I think that rail food is extremely expensive if you have to buy it on the train.
Amtrak food is not all that good if you're buying it out of the snack bar. Now, if you're eating in the dining car, sometimes it's edible. It's a little pricey sometimes. I always tell folks, if you're going to ride the train in this country, you need to not have a required time to get there. I mean, you need to have a very open schedule. And
flexibility.
Exactly. You're going for the scenery, and you're going for the ride and the journey. You don't have a set time frame.
That's right.
Gwen, before we wrap this up, you got one more international train you want to quickly tell us about?
Let me see. I can tell you that they do have a train pass and train packages in Australia.
Okay.
They used to have them they were discounted, and they don't do that anymore. But it takes 3 days to get from Sydney all the way to Perth. And it's very expensive.
That sounds like something that would be fun, though. You could travel across the entire country.
It'd be really scenic. Well, they've got some that go up the east coast, too, of Australia.
Which would be a more scenic trip.
Yeah.
Yes, the middle part of Australia is kind of like about the middle part of this country, and in that it's not, you know, all national parks and mountain ranges.
But tour operators will help you put together hotels so that you can go so far, stay at a hotel, jump in again a couple days later. And
Gwen Duncan, International Rail Trips. We will put a link to the stuff that Gwen has talked about today at TravelGuysRadio.com. You, of course, can contact her at Cordially Yours Travel. There is a link to Gwen on TravelGuysRadio.com. Is there anything I missed there, Mr. Romano?
No, I don't think so. We got it. And we are the Travel Guys. Mark, you mentioned we hooked some stuff up on our website. What do we have there?
I do. Gwen talked about a lot of really great train trips there. So if you're somebody who's into luxury train travel, travelguysradio.com, there are a whole series of links to a lot of those trips that Gwen was mentioning there. And of course, she can help you with that, or we can help you with those trips at Sports Leisure Vacations also.
All right. Tom Romano here in the studio. Mark Hoffman is in Albuquerque. Mark, you have a wonderful rest of your trip.
Up, up, and away, baby, in just a few hours.
All right.
I'm not leaving the ground, but the balloons are.
Anyway, next weekend's going to be kind of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Mark is going to be on the road, and so will I. Mark will have the latest travel news, and then we're going to revisit a great interview with world-class entertainer, a legend, and in our time, Wayne Newton joins us. We're going to spend some time with Chris Elliott and revisit the idea of price matching. And last but not least, we're going to spend some time with Ed Perkins, help make you smart at the car rental counter. Mark, you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, Thomas. You too.
All right, my friends. We'll see you next week.